Jim Taylor back on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. 1995 Aledo High School graduate Jeremy Adolphson serves on the IHSA Football Advisory Committee. Of course, he's the current head football coach and athletic director at Monmouth Roseville High School. I know some minutes have been released from the IHSA Football Advisory Committee. I think the meeting was April 19th, and the high school football world has been turned upside down. Coach Adolphson, district scheduling being looked at again. Take it away. What a little bit about the conversation and what motivated this.
Sure. Yeah, the Football Advisory Committee, which I've been on the last 2 years, we meet typically in December. And kind of the talk at the December meeting this year was, you know, looking at is there something we can do to try to alleviate the scheduling nightmare that's kind of taken over more and more conferences around the state with conferences reshuffling and people not willing to play people outside of conference necessarily at risk of losing a game. And the conversation kind of started that, you know, this committee meets in December, yet all the town meetings were in November. And so whenever proposals came about, we were meeting after the fact, and it was too late to spread any information or to kind of talk about what was good or what was bad about those proposals. And so the decision was made there that we need to, you know, they sent out a survey around Christmas time to all the schools, a bunch of different questions regarding playoff structure and regular season structure and things like that. We had a phone meeting in late February, I believe, and then we came back and all met again for a third time there just a couple weeks ago. And the thought was, let's try to get something going on this end, you know, before and get it ready before, you know, next fall with all the town hall meetings and the proposals and things along those lines. And so, you know, kind of after looking at several things, no one seemed very interested in expanding the playoffs through the survey as far as trying to make week nine part of the playoffs and seeing if that would help. No one really seemed to think that was much of a solution or maybe fixing the wrong part of the problem. So the idea of setting up districts, scheduling and doing it by class and enrollment and geography and all that kind of came about during that meeting. We spent several hours going through all the different scenarios and things that could come up and looked at the map and went through all the classes and kind of looked at potential, you know, issues and also situations that could maybe help some of those issues. So really, really productive meeting. The people on that committee, Sam Knox heads it from the IHSA, but the people on that committee I've learned a ton from, mostly just because we come from all over the state. And so our problems are all a little bit different, and we all have a little different point of view, but I think it was really beneficial, and now looking at, you know, trying to possibly have a way where the schedule is set by the IHSA for two-year rotations with the ability to reset those every 2 years and still have some flexibility in your schedule the first 2 weeks to schedule some non-conference games that would not count against your district record, which will allow people to play up and challenge themselves or to reestablish rivalries, even if those rivalries have kind of dissipated due to differences in school size. So I think there's some positives there as well.
Well, and I think the other thing too here is timeline. Now, how this would work, this basically would get out to the bylaw amendment process next November. So if you're successful through that, I still think probably the earliest, and I mean the earliest this could happen would be 2019-2020 school year, but I think probably more feasible would be the 2020-2021 school year. But you mentioned the people that serve on that committee with you: Glenbrook North, Naperville Central, Monroe Forsyth, Breeze Central, Chicago Phillips, Forreston, I think are among those people that participate. So that is broad representation. So what is your gut feeling? I know that this has been out there before, you know, but it's out there again, and you know the frustration and the pain and consternation of a lot of schools throughout the state trying to, you know, secure conference affiliation. And even if they do have a conference, and maybe they don't have a 10-team conference, they know they have to schedule some non-conference games. So this is just became, you know, this is a year-in, year-out issue. So what's the gut feeling from the advisory committee in general, you think? I mean, they pretty much on board with this?
Absolutely. Yeah, we really, that last meeting left really in unanimous agreement that we really thought this was the way to go and thought it was a positive for the state as a whole. And that's the thing that was mentioned several times there, that, you know, until you start looking at some of these things from a broader perspective or talk to people from different areas. You know, I think the last time districts came about when they put out just a potential look at district, which was really just quickly wasn't going to be the real thing, just a here's what it could look like. Everybody's eyes went directly to their district and started counting wins once again.
Yeah.
And thought, you know, I don't like it because of what it's doing to me. And I think what we all talked about there was if you look at this as a broad, big picture, statewide, this is probably what's best for everyone together. It may not be great for some individual schools that might not like the way that things fall for them. They still would have some flexibility those first couple of weeks. But, you know, there aren't a lot of people around the state that are thinking about, you know, Macomb or West Hancock or Quincy Notre Dame and their scheduling issues. Well, now it's hitting up in the suburbs there. Naperville Central is represented. They have four conference games. They have to find five, and one of those is going to be in Kentucky this year because that was the closest game they could find someone who just played up, you know, because they're worried about getting that win or loss within the state. And, you know, I just think that when we talked about it and we looked at things and you allow some flexibility when you say it's, you know, it's geography and it's enrollment and it's not necessarily a cut number, that's 1A, 2A, there could be some flexibility around the bubble there to help the district setup or the geography setup. I think you have the potential to do something I think is pretty dang good for the entire state. And you know, it's an attempt at trying to do something to solve issues. And even, you know, it was mentioned at the meeting there that, you know, you still have more and more conferences reorganizing and restructuring. Well, if this thing can gain some steam, maybe people will slow down a little bit here for the next week or two. And the thing that I've always been adamant about, I know I talked to you about this the last time the districts came up. If this thing goes through, you're going to see one more big conference shuffling, but it's going to go back to what makes sense. And it's going to make sense for volleyball and basketball and baseball and softball and all those things where people are taking 2-hour road trips during the week in the winter, all because the football team needed a different conference to play in. And it just seems kind of weird that one sport has really caused some issues for the others. And I think that's where our biggest support probably should come from. Should come from every other head coach that's not involved with football, because they're the ones that have, in many cases, paid the price for the football decisions regarding conferences.
Well, I hope that's true, because that to me spells common sense on the other sports about that would bring them back to the table and back together. Now, the other thing that I like about this is the flexibility that you're looking at maybe 9-team districts or 8-team districts. So if you have 9-team districts in one situation, you need to basically you have the flexibility to schedule another game, or if you have 8 in your district, you have the flexibility to schedule 2 games. And I think the other, if I read this right, there would be 8 districts in each class. So you know going in what class you're in the postseason, then I think you take the top 4 teams from each of the 8 districts in each of the 8 classes, which I think that makes sense too in all this.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, you know where you are. You're locked into a class for a 2-year period. So for those bubble teams, you know, that never quite know sometimes until, you know, Saturday afternoon when somebody online figured it out or assistant coaches figured it out in the basement somewhere where they're going to fall, you have some answers there. You know, you have to finish top 4 of your district. And, of course, there's going to be some districts that people look at and think, man, it's loaded. I don't know that I can get first or second ever in here, and I'm going to be fighting for that 3-4-5 spot. But the other thing that, you know, we looked at as far as when the playoffs do come around, it would be absolutely impossible to have a rematch within your district until the quarterfinals. So maybe you do have that power in your conference, or even a couple of them in your conference. You've got the ability to still, when you go to the playoffs, you know, it's kind of like the strength of schedule in your conference. And if you're in a tough district, you know, maybe being that 3 or 4 seed isn't so bad if you come out and you play another district where maybe you didn't think it was as tough there. So it kind of helps some of those issues as well. So when you get, you know, you see yourself paired up with a team maybe you weren't too crazy about playing, that you hadn't played for a while, you know, that you're going to get a chance to make yourself better, and then a chance to, you know, kind of avoid them in the playoffs for at least a couple of rounds. And I think that can be helpful. And like I said, I think the first 2 weeks for classes 3A through 8A, which would be the 18 districts, I think you could get a lot of really good matchups there. And like I said, just different philosophies there. Maybe it's a local rivalry. Or, you know, for some of the teams that know they're going to be really good, you know, there was talk in that room, like, I'm going to go schedule the 2 best teams I can find. You know, and if they beat us, they beat us. We make our team better headed into the district time and try to strengthen their team. Because sometimes when you're locked into a schedule in the conference, sometimes you're locked into competition that maybe isn't quite what you want, especially if you're in a conference that's smaller than your playoff class. So, you know, I think there's a lot of positives.
You know, the interesting thing here is the football coaches lead the discussion here in the football advisory committee. Now, there is an IHSA representative that also is part of the body in Sam Knox. Now, what did you get a read on them? And from what you're proposing here, it's a bylaw amendment, so that means it goes out to the town halls and then the legislative commission, and then if there's enough support, it gets to the ballot, and the member schools will vote yay or nay. Are you getting did you get much of a feeling from the IHSA on this?
I think it really just kind of comes down to what we would hear next fall at those town hall meetings. You know, we kind of all talked as we were leaving that day. You know, this is something that if we get, it's going to come out, obviously, with the meetings and going to get it out there and kind of get some momentum behind it and try to keep pushing it throughout, you know, between now and next November. And I kind of, the way I look at it, I think it's one of those deals where if there's good support throughout those meetings and a lot of positives coming out of that, I definitely think it would move forward and get itself to get to a vote. And like I said, I think, last time this happened, I think there was support, and then people saw what the districts looked like, and all of a sudden that turned some people off immediately. I think that at this point right now, it's more the concept and the idea that's important, not necessarily, who are those seven games that you're going to be playing. I think it's good for overall for football. I think it's worth it. And if we find out it's not good, it's a 2-year deal, and maybe, that's just the way it goes. But I really kind of feel like once this thing gets going, I think there could be a lot of momentum and a lot of good positives for it. And like I said, that people tend to look at things selfishly and what does this do to me? But I think if we're talking about IHSA football, the state of football, I think this is something that could be really, really good and help out things overall. And I think, some positives will come about that people hadn't even thought of regarding football. And then, like I said, the impact it has on other sports immediately, I think could be pretty drastic and probably a positive for just about everybody else who coaches another sport.
Yeah. And I think initially when you look at it, it looks overwhelming to say, well, can the IHSA really schedule all these games and put them in districts? Well, I think the first year will be a challenge, but then once after basically the boilerplate is out there, I think it kind of sets itself up. I mean, the first year would be the challenge, and are you looking at a certain time on the calendar if you get through the legislative process when you'd like to see this implemented, if it does get through all the channels and it gets the support? I mean, when would the earliest it would happen, you think?
We talked that day, 19 would be tough. Like I said, that would be the earliest, but if you're talking November and beyond, most teams, if possible, already have their schedules set and some of those contracts, ready to go. I know the teams that are out there looking for 6 and 7 games outside of what's left of their conference right now, they probably would welcome the chance to, figure out a way to undo a few of the games that they'd find, because at that point they don't have a set schedule, but probably more likely in 20, but I don't think 19 is totally out of the picture. I guess kind of just depends on the field that is coming around next fall. It's one of those things. We got out the map and basically kind of looked at the same map that they can utilize for the playoffs, and essentially just kind of like you pick a center, just like you pick a regional site or whatever the case may be. And we went through several different scenarios there, just kind of looking at different classes and potential issues. And obviously there are some situations that are not great. You get up into the big classes and you think about the teams down towards St. Louis and Quincy, and there just aren't 7 other teams around them. But kind of looking at that and looking at some of the issues there, if you've got control over week 1 and week 2, that leaves 7 games. We're talking probably 2, maybe 3 considerable trips in a year there where you'd have to really pack up and go to find someone that's within your district. And for the teams coming down that way, they're probably only doing it every other year one time. And the thing is right now, a lot of those major long trips, they're happening anyway because of the teams that literally can't find someone to play them locally. So they're having to pack up and go a long way. So, I think it's something that'll be a work in progress. But it's really interesting to look at it. If you just change one team, if you just move one team out and bring another team in, how it kind of that affects every single class and every single decision that you're making there. So, yeah, I'm sure the first time is going to be a pretty painstaking process to get through.
But, I mean, from the IHSA representation that you had on that, on the advisory committee, did they say there's no way we can do that in terms of the scheduling component? There hasn't been any resistance, I guess, what I'm getting at from Bloomington.
No. Sam Knox, he was there, and he's been, I mean, he heads up our meetings each time that we've met, and he'd already, you know, talked to some other states who do those things, I think every time I've ever heard it before, it was more, does the IHSA want to step in and take away that scheduling from the schools that have been, you know, been doing it themselves this entire time, but never that they would not be able to do it or have any issues doing it. Again, I think of, you know, postseason play for every other sport. That's essentially what they're doing. You know, they're sticking 5 to 8 teams in a regional or 10 to 12 teams in a subsectional complex and going from there. And even those things definitely fluctuate. So no, I never got an indication where they would have any issues with doing it themselves. And if they felt like that was something that was best, for football and best for the state, then I think it's definitely something they're on board with.
Well, and I'm just trying to guess here, but so like for Monmouth Roseville, I would think you're in a district schedule. You'd play like probably Farmington, Girard, like in Elmwood, Brimfield, things of that nature, which to me would look like a pretty good schedule in terms of geography and enrollment.
Absolutely, yeah. I think we would be in a pretty good spot where we are, and then it just kind of depends where everything else falls. You know, do you swing up towards the north side to pick up, you know, an Erie Prophetstown or some things along those lines, Kewaunee possibly, or does it swing back down to the south and you go headed down that direction with, you know, Macomb and some of those teams. So yeah, it's just, it's really interesting when you look at it, the map, and you know, it's whether it'll pull up and you're hitting the different teams and drawing the lines in there, that just how quickly things can change as far as who's there. And so, like I said, it'll, I think it's a good thing for us. The nice thing for us, it'll also be, you know, two games that we could schedule with other former Olympic Conference teams that we're now getting to play again in the Three Rivers Conference. If they wanted to play week one and week two, there'd be the availability to do that, or, you know, whatever the case may be. I think that's the thing that's exciting. I think those first two games, I think, could be a lot of fun and give you some options depending on where your program's at. Some programs maybe just need to find a way, hey, let's, like it is now, let's find a way to get a win and get some confidence before we start this district thing, or do we go out and play someone up about two classes and find out what kind of team you have, you know, the first couple of weeks. So, yeah, I think the scheduling for us, I think, would be, from where we've been the last 8 to 10 years here, I think would be a definitely a positive.
All right, and I know word's just getting out with I think the IHSA just posted the minutes maybe late last week from the football advisory committee meeting. So have you got like any, you know, blowback like from anybody, like, well, you're on that committee, what, you know, what are you doing with what are you trying to do, Adolphson? And maybe you'll get that after this interview's posted. I don't know.
I've heard from a few people. I was at track meet Friday night and got a few texts then, and got a couple more over the weekend. Nobody was really any real negative reaction. A lot of them just asking, you know, what do you think? What are the chances of this? And then I did get a couple of, you know, responses right after that. You know, I'm ready for this. I'm kind of sick of the constant moving and changing. And even, you know, I think some of the teams that are perennial playoff teams, like you said earlier, being those bubble teams, to know, hey, this is what we are. We're going to be 3A. Or, hey, we fell. We're in 2A for the next 2 years, and approaching it that way. So even the teams that maybe haven't necessarily had issues with scheduling, I still think there's some things that could be very helpful for those programs. And like I said, just I think four responses maybe over the weekend and Friday night. And nothing real negative, but maybe if it was negative, I wouldn't hear it at this point. So, but yeah, that's kind of what I've heard so far. And I'm sure, yeah, word will continue to travel, you know, faster and faster here the next week or so.
Yeah. And you brought up an interesting point as we wrap up, that this football issue we know drives a lot of this conference configuration stuff. And if you take the football out of the equation, we get, you know, I'm putting words in your mouth a little bit here, back to common sense, conference affiliation setups for other sports. So I, you know, the Monmouth Roseville people got to keep the scorecard, right? Because it's like, now what, what are we in again? We're in the West Central. No, we're not in that anymore. Well, we're kind of in the West Central. We're in the track for football. well, like, what side or the track are you on? Who are you playing Rock Ridge with? No, they're in the same conference, but they're in the other division. All right, well, let's go to volleyball. No, we're not in the track in volleyball. We're in the West Central for volleyball. Okay, so who are we playing? So, I mean, in terms of that, from a Monmouth-Roseville standpoint, you know, and there's other schools in that situation where you think, well, the football thing's taken care of. Let's really get our identity of where we should be with conference affiliation for all the other sports. So, you look like the shuffling will come to a stop. I mean, there'll be basically probably one final step after this district scheduling, if it becomes law, if it takes place. And then basically there'll be a few other conference realignments. And that, to me, that will probably put a stop to it in terms of, you know, getting things solidified for the other sports, which, again, they don't drive the current state of conference flux because of the football.
I totally agree. Yeah, I think a lot of things change pretty immediately. And, you know, a lot of teams are still trying to play those teams that they used to play and at least get a non-conference game in, if it's, you know, basketball, volleyball, you know, you name it. But then the issue, because of it's being football driven, is, well, we got to have 10, and then we got to have 12, and if we got 13, we need to have 14. And so what you do is you just keep grabbing more and more teams, and usually it's further away to grab those teams to even up your football schedule. Well, now that's more conference games that your basketball team and your volleyball team, your baseball teams have to play, and then all of a sudden you're not able to play the teams that you played for years and years and years that are in some cases next door. So, yeah, I completely agree with that. And like I said, I think one of the groups that I know myself as far as reaching out for and trying to get support is going to be Basketball Coaches Association, athletic directors, volleyball coaches, baseball, softball, you know, you name it. And I think for them it could be a really, really great thing, because then you get back to exactly what you said, just common sense conference setups and situations. And because if you take football out of the equation, you don't need an even number of teams. You don't need to have an enormous number of teams. You need to have teams that are in your area that make sense, that are good, good rivalries in some case. And sometimes, you know, if a team's bigger than another team, again, it just sets you up for the postseason. If you have to play a little tougher schedule in your conference, that probably helps you out later on. And, you know, and then those teams all obviously have a lot more flexibility when it comes to non-conference, regardless, because of the number of games they can play. So, yeah, I really think there would be, you know, some people getting together and saying, all right, we can get this thing done now, and it makes sense for all these things. It just didn't make sense for football for all those years, and essentially football kind of screwed things up since about 1998, somewhere in there, 2000, ever just kind of got going.
All right, so I'm reading between the lines. What you're saying is basically reforming and bringing back the Olympic Conference. Just kidding, everybody. All right, Coach, I've taken enough of your time today, and I'll let our listening audience digest that. And I know the advisory committee minutes are online at IHSA.org, and just hit the football button category there on the IHSA website. Always a pleasure to talk with you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Jim.
All right. That's Jeremy Adolphson, 1995 Aledo grad. He's the head football coach and athletic director at Monmouth Roseville, also serves on the IHSA Football Advisory Committee. More coming up on WRMJ.